Well, welcome again, everybody, and happy Easter. It's wonderful to be with you here today. Thanks for coming out. We are honored by your presence. Today, we begin a brand new message series for the 6 weeks of the season of Easter. We're calling it One World. It's about finding connection in a disconnected world. And today, I want to talk with you about you are not alone. We all go through times when we feel lonely, left behind, like we're on the outside looking in. We feel disconnected. Young people today are reporting especially high levels of loneliness, and social media, instead of helping, only adds to the depression and isolation. Maybe you're going through a period of loneliness right now because you lost somebody you loved. They walked out on you, or you lost your spouse. And at first, everybody came to your rescue, surrounded you with love and compassion, but then had to get back to their busy lives. They left you all by yourself. I talked to a woman recently who told me that her husband had advanced Alzheimer's, didn't even recognize her anymore. She felt so alone. There are so many ways that we can lose the people in our lives. Or maybe you retired from your job and they threw you a big party, everything was great, people celebrated, but now you've lost your purpose, your passion, you keep wondering what's next. Or your kids have all grown up and moved out, and the house just feels so lonely and quiet. The voices of happy children laughing, just a distant memory. Whatever you're going through, if you're suffering through a period of loneliness, God sees what you're going through. He sees the heartache, the lonely nights, the sadness of feeling alone. But that is not where your story ends. Scripture says that it is not good for us to be alone. And that is why God created us, not as separate individuals or even families, nations, and races, but as one world, one people, His people, all living together in one world. We are all connected by our shared humanity. We're all connected by our shared humanity. And so when you feel lonely, when you feel out of sorts, disconnected, like you're the odd man out, remember, you do not have to be alone. In this world, you can find connection even in some of the most unexpected places. For example, 25 years ago, I moved to Chicago with my family to go to law school. At first, we were all so excited. It was like a new adventure, a fresh beginning, a clean slate. We couldn't wait to explore Chicago. It's such a fun city. We were really, really excited. They moved us into student housing, and they gave us this three-bedroom apartment. It was enormous, just a few blocks away from campus. It seemed perfect. But after a few months, the novelty wore off, the excitement faded, it was cold outside, there was a lot of snow, there was all snow all the time, it was hard to make friends, and we missed our home. We started feeling homesick. Pretty soon, I was in that enormous apartment all by myself. My family, they just couldn't take it anymore. They went home back to Atlanta. We had signed a year-long lease and couldn't get out of it. I was going to law school, so I had to stay. And school was hard. School was hard. It was all the other students had their own friends. It was a competitive environment. I missed my family. I missed the people back home, my social connections. One night, when I was feeling pretty down and lonely, I went out for a long walk around the neighborhood, and of course, it was cold, dark, and snowy. And I remember going around the corner, and I came to this beautiful Catholic church. Never seen it before, been there before. The doors were open. It was late at night, but the doors were open, and I went in and sat in the back. Most of the church was dark. It's a big, big church. But just up front, there was a little light, and the priest was talking to a small group of women. I looked in the bulletin, and it turns out that it was a support group for mothers who had lost their children to violence. I sat there listening for a while, and I just felt so bad for them, everything that they had gone through or were going through. But somehow, in that moment, in the darkness, the pain of those women clicked with my own. I can't explain it, but I felt connected in a strange way. Like we were all going through these dark times together. And somehow it did help me. I felt better. I found connection in a very unexpected place. And I remember looking at the enormous crucifix hanging over the altar. And I thought about everything that Jesus had gone through. How he had been abandoned by his disciples in his hour of need. How the religious leaders had turned against him and were calling for his execution. How he would spend the last night on earth that he had in a cold, dark cell all alone. Knowing what would happen in the morning. That he would be convicted, condemned to death. That he would be beaten, mocked, spat upon, scourged, and finally crucified. I thought about how he cried out to God on the cross, feeling so alone, so abandoned. In those moments, in that one moment, Jesus was the loneliest man on earth. But then I thought about how he went through all of that for us so we could have this Easter Sunday morning. And when that stone in front of the tomb rolled away on that first Easter morning, everything changed. The defeat was gone. The despair was gone. The loss, the pain, the suffering was all gone. All that was left was victory. Joy overcame sorrow. Isolation gave way to a new world, one world, a world where we are all connected as part of God's family, sons and daughters of the Most High God, a God who loved the world so much that he sent his only Son to show us that we are not alone, that even though weeping may endure for the night, joy comes in the morning. Healing comes in the morning. Hope comes in the morning. Restoration, renewal, resurrection comes in the morning. Victory comes in the morning. A new day of meaning, purpose, and connection comes in the morning, as it always does when we believe. When Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, as we heard in the gospel story, it was early in the morning. And the writer of the gospel says it was still dark outside. That was intentional. It was a symbol of Mary's unbelief, her lack of faith, her lack of hope. Because when she came to the tomb and saw that the stone was rolled away, saw that the tomb was empty, she did not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead as he said he would. Instead, she thought his body had been stolen, that she would never see him again. The connection they once had was gone forever. But look what happened when Mary ran back to the other disciples. When she told Peter what she had seen, Peter and John ran together to the cemetery. John got there first, you know, he was younger, stronger, faster. But if you noticed, he waited until Peter arrived before he went in. John knew that Peter was the leader of the disciples, the one Jesus had put in charge. You see, Peter and John together represented the entire community of disciples under Peter's leadership. And together, they found hope. The scripture says, John saw and believed. Mary was alone, and she did not believe. But together, the community of disciples believed. You see, when we're isolated, feeling lonely, out of sorts, disconnected, it's easy to focus on the loss, the loneliness, the pain, the separation. But when we're together, faith comes alive. Hope comes alive. Joy comes alive. We are better together. We are stronger, healthier, happier, more connected, more successful when we remember that despite our differences, we are all part of this one world. We are all children of our Heavenly Father. In Acts chapter 10, Peter, after the resurrection, after Jesus had gone back up to heaven, Peter was on a rooftop of a house praying. He heard a knock on the door and he came downstairs. He saw three men outside. He opened the door. They said that a Roman soldier named Cornelius had sent them. Normally that would have meant trouble. A Roman soldier often meant trouble. They were known for being cruel and abusive to the Jewish people. They were known for oppressing them and even arresting them on trumped up charges, just to shake them down for money. Peter did not know what to make of this. But something inside, the voice of God, told him to go with those men. So he did, and they took him to Cornelius' house in a city called Caesarea Philippi. And when Peter got there, there was a whole group of people, large group of people gathered. Cornelius had invited all his friends and all his family members. So Peter said to the whole large group, he said, "You know that it is unlawful for a Jewish man to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call any person profane or unclean. And then, he asked why they had summoned him. And Cornelius explained that an angel of God told him to bring Peter to his house. Then Peter proceeded to speak and said, "In truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him." Then Peter went on to explain the truth about Jesus. He told Cornelius and his family all about Jesus. This is what we heard in the first reading today. He summarized Jesus' whole life, that he had gone through the whole land, you know, doing good, healing people. But he had been put to death and then raised again from the dead. That he had put Peter and the other apostles, he had assigned them to announce the good news that everyone who believes in Jesus will receive forgiveness of sins through his name. You see, in God's world, there are no Jews and Gentiles. In God's world, there are no second-class citizens, inferior people, defects, rejects, no failures, just sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, all living together in one world, a world created and redeemed by love. I heard a story about a young boy living in rural Tennessee. He had a hard time growing up because his mother was not married when she had him. And so there was a problem because back then in the South, and still today if you go to the South, people will introduce themselves and they're very friendly there and they'll say, "Who's your daddy?" especially if you're in the rural South. Maybe not Atlanta where I come from, but if you're in the rural South, they'll say, "Hey, who's your daddy?" Why do they say that? Because they want to know who your family was, so they can see if they know your family. It's sort of an innocent question, "Who's your daddy?" But the problem was, everywhere that boy went, he got the same question. "Hey, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy?" And he felt so ashamed about his background. See, back then, things were different. It was considered a stigma if you did not know who your father was. So the young boy avoided people, stayed out of the stores in town. He would even hide from the other children. But one day, when he was about 12 years old, a new preacher came to town. He was young, attractive, a good speaker. Everybody liked him, sort of like me. Just seeing if you're awake. But anyway, after church one day, the young boy comes out of church and the preacher greets him. He says hello. And there was a crowd gathered around the preacher. You know, he was new. They wanted to hear everything he had to say, hanging on every word. And so the preacher said to the young boy what everybody else did. "Hey, who's your daddy?" He didn't know any better. He didn't know the boy's background, didn't mean anything about it. It was just an expression. But the crowd around him grew very silent. They felt so bad for the young man because they knew what the answer would be. The preacher could see humiliation written all over his face, how the boy hung his head down, looked at his shoes, looked at the ground, wouldn't even make eye contact, and suddenly the preacher understood what was going on. He said, "Wait a minute. I know who you are. You are a child of your Heavenly Father. The resemblance is striking. You're the spit and image. You look just like him." The boy smiled for the first time in a long time, and he left that church a different person. He walked out holding his head high, his shoulders back. He walked out with confidence, and anytime anyone after that asked him who his father was, he would always smile and say, "I am a child of God. I am a child of my Heavenly Father." That young boy grew up to be Ben Hooper, the former governor of the state of Tennessee. He overcame that defeat, that sense of shame, abandonment, loss, not knowing his father. Because of his faith and because of what that preacher said, he could now live in victory and hold his head high. Don't ever say that you are a misfit or not good enough, nobody wants you. Don't listen to the voices telling you that where you came from, who your family was, how you were raised is somehow second rate. Thoughts will always tell you, you know, that you're going to always be the odd person out. You're always going to feel like you're on the outside looking in. You're never really going to belong, you know. You're just going to be lonely. Even if you have a million people around you, you're going to feel lonely inside. You're never going to feel valued respected and appreciated or loved. Don't listen to those lies. You are a child of God. You are precious in His eyes, one of a kind, a masterpiece. Scripture says that He will bestow on you a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. You see, when God raised His only Son from the dead, brought Him back to life, rolled that stone away, He brought the whole world together as one family, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, all as citizens for one another in this one world. Yes, there may always be strife. I know it's hard to hear this message in the world that we live in today. There will always be conflicts among nations and problems between people. We're still sinful people. We still make mistakes. We still mishandle situations. But because of that victory that came on the first Easter morning, because of the empty tomb that shocked a nation, the burial bands left behind when the glorified body of Jesus Christ was triumphantly raised from death to new life, the apostles could go out to the ends of the world and preach a message of hope, bringing us all together gradually, little by little, over the centuries, transforming a divided world into one world, a world where you are not and will never be alone. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen.